¡Ándale! ¡Sí, señor! Bienvenidos and welcome to a solo edition of the Familia FFP podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, and I'm here doing the recap on the Sunday games. Some crazy games, I'll tell you about it, but gracias everybody for joining us. Como siempre es un placer, y estamos aquí a sus órdenes. Please make sure you're checking out our website at familiaffp.com with our original content, as well as our Twitter account at familiaffp. You can find me at JorgeMartin17, dropping some knowledge, and our Familia FFP Facebook page. Well, you know, Familia, we're one of the things that I'm very proud of. I'm very proud of being Latino. I'm very proud of being a Californian, which means I don't do weather. Anything below 60 degrees, no me gusta, no me gusta. I got sweatshirt and hoodie going on. And when I started to see some of the weather that was happening across the Midwest today, yesterday, ay, Dios mío, it was just, fue un desmadre. I mean, just, there's no way around it. I mean, the game in Cleveland, our friend of the show, Vinny Bonsignore, he showed a 20-minute difference in different shots of the field in Cleveland, one where it looks just sunny sky and everything, and then it just looked bleak. And that game, that weather, the everything, it was just sleet. Everything was sideways, no passing going on. Green Bay, one of my favorite shots was just this big pylon that was, you know, just flying across the field because the wind was just taking it down. Cincinnati was also messed up with weather, just bad day all around. No bueno. Tough day for the Rams too. I mean, one of the weirdest games. They lost. You know, they had a couple of fumble that went the wrong way. That went for an 88-yard touchdown. Then they had a long punt return that went for a touchdown. Then Jared Goff lost a fumble that led to a 1-yard plunge, and before you knew it, they were down 28-7. And the craziest thing was, I tweeted this during the game, but then I got the final stats later. The Rams' time of possession was 36 minutes and 29 seconds. That's crazy. And the number of plays, they did 92 plays to the Dolphins 48. How does that translate to a 28-17 loss? Turnovers, baby. And turnover for also the local team, the Chargers, up 24-3, and they blew it, and they lost 31-30 on a walk-off TD. Just, Ay, Dios mío. Just feeling it for the Chargers. Justin Herbert, yo no sé. We'll talk about this a little bit more. But because there are things to like about the Chargers, starting with their QB. Classic Steelers-Ravens, you know, it was just a lot of hard hitting, a lot of running the ball. It was colder there, just not a lot of wind to deal with. So we'll see. Well, let's get into... Ay, ay, ay! Just some injuries to follow, to keep an eye on. Kenny G left the game with a hip problem, Kenny Golladay. So something to keep an eye on, because even though Matthew Stafford threw for over 300 yards, he needs his number one target out there. Staying with the G's, Jimmy Garoppolo, another ankle injury for him, and came out of the game, and I gotta tell you, eso dolió for me, because I played him in DFS thinking I was gonna get a cheap play on a day where he was gonna be throwing the ball a lot, and just no pasó. Just no. It hurt, but something to keep an eye on there, because even though Nick Mullins did well throwing up against the Seattle defense, it was the Seattle defense, and we've seen Nick Mullins when he goes up against a much better pass defense. One big injury to keep an eye on, George Kittle came down awkwardly on a 25-yard pass, injured his foot, x-ray was negative, that's the good news. But again, something to keep an eye on. George Kittle has had injuries linger with him for a while. So we'll see. Tevin Coleman left the game with a knee injury, was ruled out after that. So, gosh, the 49ers, como se duele, just, ay, 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 for them. Everything is just, yeah, you just, I mean, you know, and as an LA sports fan, I don't like it. But as a fantasy aficionado, I don't like to see injuries. Do not like to see injuries. Deontay Johnson battling another hamstring injury. He left the game. He did come back at the end. But again, eso como, yo no sé. That one just, that one's a painful one. Painful. Because he keeps it. I think this is three games now where he's left and missed either a chunk of the game or most of the game. So, I mean, it's tough because he is so talented. So talented. I mean, we saw it last week. He got what? I think it was 18 targets last week. And this week, again, you know, everything switched over to Chase Claypool from him. So, but we'll have to keep an eye on this injury, which will probably linger the entire week. The Rams backfield, Daryl Henderson battled a thigh, left the game in the second half, and he didn't come back. And then Cam Akers was, you know, he ran the ball. There was a great run that he had where he made like three guys miss, just totally, totally juked them out of their uniform. So this is just going to muddy the Rams backfield that much more. T.Y. Hilton left the game with a groin injury, so that's another one to keep an eye on for this week. I mean, even though he's been underwhelming, Philip Rivers did throw the ball more in this game, so we're going to see. Adam Humphries suffered a head injury, so he's likely going into the concussion protocol. So, no bueno. And one interesting one, Gardner Minshew, who was on a bye this week with the Jacksonville Jaguars, he's already been ruled out for week 9. So, that one's a tough one. That one's a tough one. So, we'll be seeing Jake Luton. We'll see what he's got. I mean, he was a late round pick from the Pac-12, which is what Gardner Minshew was last year. So vamos a ver. Last one is a really painful injury. Not fantasy player, but definitely relevant for fantasy. Left tackle for the Baltimore Ravens, Ronnie Stanley, who just signed a $99 million contract extension just a few days earlier, suffered an ankle injury that knocked him out for the remainder of the season. Just a big, big blow. I mean, the left tackle, that's the anchor of any offensive line. And for them, that's one of the better offensive lines in football. So, next man up. It'll definitely going to be taking a step backward, and we'll see if that affects the running game for the Ravens. So vamos a ver. All right, let's get into that. Ay, mijo, los chingones. That one hurts the throat sometimes. Hey, no one was more chingon than Patrick Mahomes. Just, 416 yards and 5 touchdowns. Just a man. Un hombre. It was just so beautiful to watch it. I mean, one of the things that you expected them to blow out the New York Jets, which they did 35-9, breaking through that 20-point spread, but it just made it look easy. I mean, Tyreek Hill got a long run, got a couple of passes. Mecole Hardman got that little pitch pass that was about 6 inches, and he threw it and he ended up taking it to the house for 30 some yards. And you know, Travis Kelce had himself, you know, and just Patrick Mahomes makes it look easy. And speaking of making it look easy, Russell Wilson, ay, Dios mío, he has just been, he's fantastic. You know, 27-37 for 261 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. I mean, he just, carved up a good 49er defense. So, just kept it going. For that MVP, that MVP parade. And someone else continuing in that MVP talk is Aaron Rodgers. He went for 291 yards, 3 touchdowns on just an ugly, ugly day. But, you know, when you got one of the best arms of all time, you can cut through those really, really high winds. But tough one. Didn't turn out into a win, but we're going to talk about who made that happen. Back into the chingones is Philip Rivers, 262 yards, 3 touchdowns. Didn't always look pretty, but got the job done in a 41-21 victory. Going against him in that victory was Matthew Stafford, who's got his second straight 300-yard game, 336 yards, 3 touchdowns. So he's back. You know, even though missing Kenny G, he got some other performers to step up. So good win. Good game, good win for the Lions, but Stafford, at least, you know, we can be happy that he's throwing the ball down the field a little bit more and getting, you know, racking up those 300-yard games. Not quite a 300-yard game, but Justin Herbert, 278 yards on just, I mean, a heartbreaker. I mean, you thought that, you know, he got the monkey off his back in the last game, got his first victory, and then all of a sudden it was like they're up 24-3, and you know, he got a couple of interceptions in there, but again, you know, the defense let him down. Obviously, they lost Joey Bosa for a good chunk of the game, as he was being evaluated for a concussion. So they didn't really lose because of Herbert. Again, you just scratch your head. How did this keep happening? The guy who helped make it happen was Drew Lock. You know, threw the walk off TD to KJ Hamler for his third TD of the game, 248 yards on top of it. So, yeah, it didn't always look the best, but he did show off that big arm that he has. So, you know, maybe there's something to build upon. You know, he's got some great young receivers, so maybe those guys start to really show up in the second half of the season. Ojalá. Not the greatest day, but Tua Tagovailoa got his first victory. With just 93 yards passing and a touchdown. He threw that touchdown pass was to Devontae Parker, who was number 11. Very interesting how the number one plays into this. Tua Tagovailoa is number one. Again, Devontae Parker catches the first touchdown to Tua's career. And he did it on 11-1. So pretty amazing stats. How cool is that? So let's get over to the running backs. And I don't think anybody was more chingon than Dalvin Cook. 163 yards, three touchdowns. And then he had another 63 yards through the air and a touchdown, just four touchdowns. I mean, he just blew everybody out of the water. I mean, gosh, if you were somehow able to stack, you know, Dalvin Cook and Patrick Mahomes in a DFS lineup, you did really well. You did really well. And you know what? That was the way to beat the Packers. Dominate the ball and keep the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. Even though Rodgers threw for 291 yards, keep, you know, dominating that ball, and Dalvin Cook getting four touchdowns, all four touchdowns that the Vikings would score in a 28-22 victory. That's the recipe. The Packers just have to learn to stop the run. Josh Jacobs had himself a day on that ugly day when the Raiders, or neither the Raiders nor the Browns, were going to be throwing the ball. He went for 31 yards, 31 carries for 128 yards. So, you know, just pounded the rock in that 16-6 victory. I mean, it made it ugly, but you know what? This dome team went into ugly weather and won against a good team. So that was something to keep an eye on. And hey, familia, if you held on to him this long, J.K. Dobbins, you got the reward if you played him. 15 carries for 113 yards. You always get that feeling of the rookie running back that maybe hasn't broken out yet getting that opportunity in that game after the bye, which was exactly what happened here. He got more opportunities. Obviously, it helped with Mark Ingram being out. But again, you know, you hope it doesn't go like it has the last couple weeks for DeAndre Swift after his breakout game. So, but one thing about this team, the Ravens do like to pound the ball, which Gus Edwards was the guy who was a beneficiary of it. Had 16 carries, one more than Dobbins for 87 yards. So, and also Lamar Jackson had himself 16 carries as well. So, I mean, look at that. I mean, that's 47 carries on the day, from the team. So, and no secret as to what the Ravens want to do, and they did it against one of the top run defenses in Pittsburgh. Justin Jackson had himself another game, 142 total yards. He had totaled on 20 touches total. So, you know, for this week at least, it looks like he's the lead back. And, you know, and I think he's going to continue to be the caballo. And next week he's got the Raiders, another team that gives up the run. So that's going to be good. Hopefully it's going to be good things for him. Jamal Williams, is this his farewell tour with Aaron Jones chomping at the bit to get back? 102 total yards on the day. Again, he was the dominant back.
Speaking of the dominant back, Giovanni Bernard had himself, 78 total yards, but he had two touchdowns. I flip-flopped between starting him and Myles Gaskin in a DFS lineup, and I was going to switch it out to Bernard and then just kept Gaskin in there at the last minute, and wish I had him. I would have done better. I would have finished in the money, actually. Damian Harris, he hit pay dirt himself. He got a touchdown on 102 yards on 16 carries. Again, this Patriots backfield is going to be kind of a question mark all season. So, we're going to see, Jordan Wilkins and Nyheim Hines kind of came out of nowhere to be the lead guy, the dual lead caballos, with Wilkins getting 20 carries for 89 yards. Yes. And a touchdown. Yes. That is not a misprint. we'll see. Nyheim Hines was kind of in that Austin Eckler type of role. He caught three balls for 54 yards and two touchdowns, including two of the greatest end zone celebrations that I think I've ever seen. I mean, he turned into Simone Biles and just did some incredible gymnastics moves in the end zone with it. Just amazing. If you haven't seen it, go see it. The Buffalo Bills, still a lot of question marks as to how they're breaking up the backfield. Zach Moss and Devin Singletary had 14 carries each, with Moss getting 81 yards and two touchdowns, Singletary getting 86 yards, no touchdowns. I mean, it's pretty clear who's getting the ball in the red zone, and it's Moss. But again, is this going to be just a split carries for the rest of the season? That's going to be frustrating to people. It's going to be tough. We're still on the running backs. To Alvin Kamara, 163 total yards, including nine receptions. I mean, he's just going to be right now, all he needs to do is stay healthy, play every game, and I think he's going to end up being the clear number one running back for the RB1 for the season. And then he with his receiving work, he's really benefited from Michael Thomas's absence, but I'm sure he'd want him back so that their victories would be a little bit more. David Montgomery, 105 total yards. As we talked about last week, it's not always pretty, but he gets the job done. DJ Dallas, in his debut as a starter, is the third string guy. What is it with the Seahawks and having to go to their third string running back? They did that last year too, but he got 58 total yards and two touchdowns. So good for him in his debut. Over on the pass catchers, Davante Adams, five touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. He had three yesterday on 53 yards receiving on 7 of 12, catching 7 of 12 targets. Just another, he's so good. He is so good. Speaking of so good, DK Metcalf, I mean, people were having their question marks about him after last week, but I mean, just bad day. Just badass day. 12 of 15. Targets, 161 yards, two touchdowns. I mean, he's a highlight reel. He's so fun to watch. I mean, when I think about the players that I love watching play, he is one of them. Corey Davis had himself a day, complimenting AJ Brown, who also caught a touchdown. Corey Davis went 8 of 10 for 128 yards and a score. Ian Harditz over at Pro Football Focus showed his numbers as well as AJ Brown's numbers in the same number of games, nearly identical. Eerie. And think about how highly we have AJ Brown regarded on the season. So pretty incredible comeback. I mean, Corey Davis is looking like this year's Devontae Parker if he keeps this going. Marvin Hall, I had to look him up. He took over kind of like the lead caballo receiver duties for catching 4 of 7 targets for 113 yards. So if Kenny Golladay is out for any period of time, maybe Marvin Hall becomes more of a waiver wire pick. So keep an eye on this one. Tyreek Hill led that pass catching core with the Chiefs. He had 98 yards, two touchdowns. I was glad I played him in DFS, though. He paid off, not a couple of the other guys. Travis Kelce had himself a day, 8 of 12 targets for 109 yards and a touchdown. And Mecole Hardman came back to the land of the living. Welcome back. Welcome back, Mecole. Bienvenido. Caught 7 balls, 96 yards and a touchdown. Brandon Ayuk in a game where he really was kind of like a popular bargain pick on DFS, caught 8 of 10 balls for 91 yards and a score. So, and the receivers just kept going. Cooper Kupp, 21 targets on the day, ended up with 110 yards. He didn't get a touchdown, but 21 targets. That's going to keep that. That just ended up showed how much the Rams had to keep throwing the ball yesterday to try and catch up. Robert Woods did his thing. He got 94 total yards, 85 receiving, 9 on the ground. He ended up with 2 touchdowns. So, again, just a typical Robert Woods day. Stephon Diggs got 92 receiving yards on 6 of 9 targets. Willie Snead led the Ravens with 106 yards, catching 5 balls. Robert Tonyan was one of the highest tight ends on the day, catching 5 of 7 balls for 79 yards. Looks like he's healthy from that ankle injury, so we'll see how he keeps going. Mike Williams made, to me, other than Nyheim Hines' end zone celebration, Mike Williams had the greatest catch of the day. I mean, just the DB had his left arm kind of tangled up, and Mike Williams just kind of reached up, grabbed the ball with one hand, caught it in the end zone. Just beautiful, beautiful catch. He caught 5 of 6 targets for 99 yards and a touchdown. Allen Robinson, just, big ups to him. You know, just 6 days after getting a concussion and being in the protocol, he got okay the day before. He got 6 receptions for 87 yards and a touchdown. Just making plays. He's a baller. He is a baller. And last but not least, on Sunday Night Football, probably like the only guy to really kind of be in the Ay Mijo section, Travis Fulgham caught 6 of 7 targets for 78 yards and a touchdown. And he is definitely got into that wide receiver 2 range where he is someone that you want to play every week. Let's get into Adios Mio. We touched on it a little bit. Jared Goff, 4 turnovers. I mean, he got 355 yards and a touchdown late that really, kind of helped things out. But again, 4 turnovers, 2 interceptions, 2 fumbles. I mean, what the great thing I liked about it, he was very accountable after the game. He just said, I've got to be better. And I think he will. I think he will. I think he's been better more often than he has been. But I mean, the thing that I think is interesting is the Rams really only throw the ball a lot when they're in the negative game script. They try and be a running team first and foremost, which I think was kind of hidden when Todd Gurley was at his height. So again, that's going to be happening with the Rams. Over in the New England game, Josh Allen, 154 yards, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception. He did get a touchdown on the ground, but I'm sorry about that. Again, that's just you expect more. You expect more the way he was playing, especially when he had when the Patriots had Stephon Gilmore out. You don't think that Josh Allen is going to only be throwing for 154 yards. On the other side, Cam Newton, not much better. The Bills have been a little bit more forgiving on defense this year, but 174 yards on 15 and 25 passes. He also got 54 yards on the ground for a touchdown. But I mean, you just look at it and it you just feel for him because you know that he could possibly be doing better if he had more weapons to work with. So, duele. Lamar Jackson, he did get 208 yards, but he had 4 turnovers himself. So I mean, you just can't do that, especially in a divisional game when you're trying to get it, you're trying to get past the first place Steelers. It's he got 65 yards on the ground, but again, It needs, you know, you want to see more. And I think the schedule is going to be forgiving and kind of open up for him a lot. I remember, you know, before the season, we were really, really talking about how his schedule looks great during the playoff weeks. So I'm not writing him off. I think they're going to get some things figured out. And maybe against the lesser competition, he's going to really blow up. In the Adios Mio, just the weather in the Midwest, and nothing was more clear than that game in Cleveland, where Derek Carr threw for 112 yards passing, and then Baker Mayfield threw 122 yards passing. You just don't, you just weren't throwing on a day like that. Last one on the quarterbacks, Carson Wentz. Come on, man. I mean, you that was this was a blow up spot. You know, I'm never gonna bag on a player, but the performance was not what we expected as fantasy players. 123 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, in a game where against the Dallas defense that has just been getting gored left and right. So you know, you got to expect better. You got to expect better days ahead, especially coming off of a week where he threw for like 359 yards and he had a bunch of yards on the ground also. So, you know, maybe the thing is their schedule really, you know, this is a light part of the schedule. If and he's getting and guys are getting healthy for the Eagles. Fulgham has become their number one receiver. Jalen Reagor, who also caught a touchdown yesterday, is back, and Dallas Goedert is back. So maybe there's some help on the horizon for these guys. On the running backs, Kareem Hunt, I had him as one of my top-rated plays this week against the Raiders, and 66 yards, and he caught two balls for seven yards, just a letdown day. Jonathan Taylor was probably one of the biggest letdowns on the day. Dios mio, was this a tough one. I mean, 11 carries for 22 yards, and then you see what Wilkins and Hyde did on their side. It just muddies the background. It's the backfield. It's tough. It's tough to expect this. DeAndre Swift, 6 carries, 1 yard. Uno. Caught another 3 balls for 22 yards. I mean, after his breakout a couple weeks ago, that was tough. You know, you look at this, even Kerryon Johnson scored. He had 13 total carries for the running backs in the backfield. I mean, there were a lot of players who had more than that just by themselves. So, you know, are the Lions going to, you know, be a team that tries to throw the ball all the time? That may be the case. That they're going to put the ball in Matthew Stafford's hands to have him try and win the game. So, you know, what does that bode for DeAndre Swift? I still think he's going to be better, but it's going to be hard to predict what weeks he's going to be good. So, I mean, this was a week where you expected him to have it tough because the Colts are one of the top-ranked running defenses. But we'll see. Over in Kansas City, that backfield, CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 6 carries for 21 yards. Le'Veon Bell, 6 carries for 7 yards. This is going to be I don't know. I mean, part of it is the Jets just dared the Chiefs to throw the ball, that they were going to be trying to stop the run. And that's what happened. They didn't run. The Chiefs threw, and that's what we've seen. The last of the nightmare backfields, Denver, the carry split. Lindsey, 6 carries for 83 yards. He had that 50-plus yard touchdown late that helped the comeback. So, you know, and he just seemed to be the more high energy, more effective runner on the day. Melvin Gordon just didn't seem to have it. He turned 8 carries into 26 yards. He also caught 6 of 7 targets for 21 yards. But again, Lindsey just looked like the more effective runner. Over on the wide receivers and tight ends, you know, Cole Beasley had him, you know, after having a nice little run there when John Brown was injured, just two receptions for 24 yards. Jonnu Smith, I mean, this is 3 games in a row where he had 2 receptions for 29 yards, and that was after back-to-back games with just 1. So, not much to make up for a guy who is in the top five, who coming into this game, I believe he was the tight end 4 in fantasy. So, scratching the head, scratching the cabeza. Hollywood Brown, 1 catch, 2 targets, 3 yards. Did get a touchdown, but seriously, this was the one where you expected him to, break off a long pass, a long reception. So, hope for better. Hope for better for Mark Andrews, too. 3 of 6 targets for 32 yards, 0 touchdowns. I mean, this is getting to be like a little bit of a trend with him where, we all had him as the number 3 tight end going into the season. And, he's been surpassed by Waller and maybe even, on production purely. Jonnu Smith, I think we all still expect Andrews to be the guy. So, vamos a ver. AJ Green was a cheap play in DFS. He only caught 2 balls for 19 yards. Amari Cooper was one of the biggest letdowns. 1 catch on 5 targets. I mean, Ben DiNucci, rookie, he did his best, against an NFL defense coming up from, going from the James Madison all the way to starting for the Cowboys. That's a huge leap. And you just hope that Andy Dalton's back so that they have a real NFL quarterback starting for them. So, but again, you would hope that Amari Cooper would catch more balls than that. So that's it on those. We'll have waiver wires coming up. DJ Dallas and Cam Akers are a couple players who I expect to be on there. So, gracias, everybody. Eso es todo for our show. Gracias again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our familia community gets our independent podcast. Please subscribe and leave us a review at Apple. You could also subscribe at Spotify, Google, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, follow us on Twitter at Familia FFB. Again, Jorge Martin 17 for me, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page and our FamiliaFFB.com website. Original content on there. There's going to be some fun stuff this week. Gracias, everybody. Remember, tomorrow's election day. Get out and vote. Rock the vote. Porque todos somos familia.
Salud!